the book of Hebrews and the chapter 4. We'll read the first couple of verses. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You'll notice in this text, in verse 2, it talks about the preaching of the word and how that the word preached did not profit them. Or it simply means that the word that was preached didn't do them any good, because that word was not mixed with faith in those that heard it. Interestingly, the phrase there, the word preached, there's another rendering of that in the Greek, and it really signifies the word of hearing. The word of hearing did not profit them. Now, we're speaking about going on with God, about what Peter refers to in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, as growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of the ways in which we grow in grace is to be under the preached word. And I talked about that last time, and really how that there are two chief aspects to ministry. There's the ministry of evangelism, preaching the gospel, and there's the ministry of edification, that is, building up the saints of the Lord in faith and in holiness. And those are two things that are done through the preaching of the word. Evangelism of sinners, teaching people their need of Christ, and teaching them about the Christ that they need. And then there's edification for those who are the saints of the Lord, who have come to know Christ. They need to be further built up in their faith. We need to learn. All of us need to learn. I need to learn. We're constantly learning. And if you think about the things of God as being like a vast ocean, sometimes when you look at a body of water, perhaps it's a lake or something like that, or an inland body of water, it doesn't really look that big. But when you get into a boat and you go out into that water and you turn a corner between some mountains or pieces of land, and you realize, oh, look at this. Look how it opens up into the ocean. And it's a huge thing. And it becomes an ocean where you just look into the horizon and you all you can see is water everywhere. I think it's like that in studying the Bible. Sometimes you think, well, I'm really learning a lot here. I'm really making progress in the things of the Lord. And the more that you learn, the more you realize that there is yet to learn. That's the way it is with studying God's word. And we're going to be doing that as long as we're on this earth. We're going to be learning. We're going to be hopefully being taught the word. We're going to learn ourselves as we read and as we study. And we're going to learn more and more as we're taught the word in services just like this. The Lord Jesus said, take heed what ye hear. And on another occasion he said, take heed how ye hear. It's very important for us to be hearers of the word. James chapter 1 verse 22 though reminds us that it's not enough to be a hearer of the word. The book of James, the chapter 1 and verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Now, it's important that we are hearers. We must hear the word preached. But we're not to be hearers only. We're actually to put into practice that which we hear. That's what it means to grow in grace. Now, how can I get the most out of the preaching of the word? I hope that that's something that you think about. I hope that that's something that folks who come along to our church consider, that they don't just come to sit like bumps on a log, as it were, but they come to actually learn. How can I get the most out of the message? One of the things that I mentioned last time, and I'm going to mention it again today, is to follow along the preaching with your Bible. Now, I recognize that that can be a bit of a challenge with some preachers, because they turn to a lot of scriptures, and they turn to them sometimes really quickly. It's not always easy to do that. So one good thing that I would suggest that people do, and I know some folks in our church do this, and that is to have a piece of paper or a notebook, and to, if you can't find the scripture right then, write it down. And then later on you can look it up. And if you don't remember what it was, you ask the preacher afterwards, and he probably can't remember what it was either. So he has to consult his notes. But Acts chapter 17 reminds us of something very important. And it is that when you're following along with the preaching, you do so in order to make sure that what is being preached is correct. I wouldn't want anyone ever to say, I believe what I believe because pastor told me that that's what we're supposed to believe. Now, I would like you to believe as I believe, of course. I wouldn't preach what I preach unless I believed it. If I don't believe it, there's no point in preaching it. Someone said to a minister one time, a friend of mine actually in the ministry, you know, you seem to think you're always right. He said, well, do you think that I stand up in the pulpit and preach something because I think it's wrong? Really? I mean, do you think that I'm preaching what I'm preaching because I think it's wrong? Of course I think it's right. That's why I preach it. But it's not a question of you're always right. It's a question of what does the Bible say? And if I check out what you're saying by the scriptures, and not just by one scripture, but by all the scriptures, and I find that what you're saying coincides with what God says, then it's very important that I take heed to that. So this is what the Bereans did. Acts chapter 17, from verse 11. These were more noble, and it's talking about the men of Berea, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. And it really refers, that word search, to going through the scriptures as someone would go through something with a fine-tooth comb. They searched the scriptures every day whether those things were so. In other words, what Paul preached and what others preached, they wanted to make sure that what was being preached was scriptural and that it was correct. They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And I would always want my people to do that. I would want anybody under my ministry to do that. And I think that any man who is a man of God would want his congregation to do that. They wouldn't want people just to say, you know what, I believe it because he said it. No, we want people to believe what the scriptures have to say. So check it out. When you're following the preaching with an open Bible is a good thing to do. And if you go back in the book of Acts to chapter number 8, you'll see there from verse 27 that there's a story of a man who was a very rich man, probably. He certainly was a man of great authority, and if he didn't have much riches of his own, he certainly had charge of quite a lot of riches. He was a man of Ethiopia of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. So he was the chancellor of the exchequer, so to speak. He was the treasurer, the treasury secretary. Hopefully he paid his taxes. But anyway, he had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And he was in his chariot, verse 28 says, reading the scriptures. He had his Bible open. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. And the Spirit of God spoke to Philip. He went and drew near to his chariot. And obviously he was reading out loud because Philip heard him read. You can't hear somebody reading if they're not reading out loud. And he asked him a question. Verse 30, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? And the man was very honest. He said, well, not really, because I need somebody to guide me. How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the Bible goes on to talk about the scripture that he was reading from. And in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. It was so important there, wasn't it, that that man, as he listened to Philip, was able to listen with his Bible open, following along, listening to what Philip was saying, expounding the scriptures. That's how we get the most out of the preaching of the word. When we're hearing God's word, we should do so in as much as is possible with an open Bible. And we have to make sure, obviously, that the person who's going to be doing the preaching to us is one who expounds the Bible. If you go back over to the Old Testament, to the book of Nehemiah, there's mention made in that chapter of someone who preached the word, and he did so from a pulpit of wood. So we're very much on scriptural grounds when we have a pulpit. It says in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 4 that Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. Actually, the word for pulpit is tower, so he was way above. I've heard people criticize that. Oh, you know, you shouldn't stand on a pulpit as if you're above the people and you're preaching down to them. That's what Ezra did. Ezra did that, literally. He was on a tower of wood. There he was. And it wasn't so that he could say, look, I'm up here and you're down there, I'm better than you are. No, I think it's just simply for practical purposes that the people could see him. Everybody there in the congregation, of which there were a lot, men, women and children, says that in verse 2. He brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. So that refers to the children as well. And there he stood on that pulpit of wood that they had made for the purpose. And I have a pulpit here that was made for the purpose. It says in verse 5 that Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. It was the book of the law, the scriptures. It says that in verse 1. They spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. So there he is with the Pentateuch. He's going to read it. But not only is he going to read it, he's going to explain it. Verse number 8 says, in fact, if we go to the last part of verse 7, they caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, verse 8 tells us, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. When it says they gave the sense, that is a reference to exposition, or what we might call sometimes also exegesis, where you're taking the scriptures and explaining them. You're giving the sense. Sometimes you have to go into the original. Obviously you have to do that when your Bible is in English or any other language but Hebrew and Greek. The Bible is written mostly in Hebrew and in the New Testament, Koine Greek, and there are one or two other words that are Aramaic, one or two other words, but mostly it's Hebrew and Greek. Sometimes you have to go into the original to bring out the sense, because, for example, you may have in English one word for something, but in Greek you may have four words for the same thing, and they all mean something different. So you have to understand that the English word is one of those four, and you have to tell what it is. That's exposition and exegesis. That's how you get the most out of the preaching, when you're listening to someone who actually expounds the Bible. And I think that we're living in a day where there is a dearth of expository preaching. There really is. Some places you could go to today, I'm not advising that you do, but you could, and the Bible would hardly be opened, let alone preached from. And if it was opened and preached from, most of the people would say, you know, I could have got that myself without any trouble. I didn't need to come here to hear that. Now, I know that that sometimes is true of anybody's preaching. You say, well, yeah, I knew that already. That's fine. We need to be reminded of things that we already know. But what I'm saying is you need to be under the preaching of someone who expounds the Bible. And not only that, we need to have a reverence for God's word as we listen to it, realizing that it is the word of God. When we open the Bible, we should do so with reverence. That doesn't mean you have to get on your knees or something like that when the Bible is read, although there wouldn't be any harm in that, I guess. But we must come to the Bible with the right attitude. If you turn with me to a scripture in the New Testament, I think it emphasizes this reverence for the word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. Here's the preacher, the Apostle Paul, and he's giving thanks to the Lord for the Thessalonians. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us," in other words, when you listen to our preaching, and it's clear that that's what he's referring to, because in verse 9 he says at the end of the verse, "We preached unto you the gospel of God." He says, when you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In other words, you didn't say, well, who does he think he is preaching that? You said, what he's preaching is the word of God. And I need to have a reverence for that word. And that's what we ought to have. If you go back to Nehemiah chapter 8, if you were to refer to verse 5, you would see the reverence that the people had for the word of the Lord. They stood up when they heard the reading of the law. The Bible speaks of another place where there were those who trembled at the words of the Lord. They had reverence for God's word. They said, the Bible is not just a collection of stories that men have written. The Bible is the very word of God. This is God speaking to me. I need to have reverence for it. That's how it ought to be when we're under the hearing of God's word. There ought to be reverence in God's house. And again, without flogging this horse too much, it really bothers me when I have witnessed in the past places that are supposed to be places of worship where people act and behave as if they're at a ball game, when they should have reverence for the word of God. And how are we going to get the most out of the preaching? How are we going to get the most out of the hearing of the word? Not only by following it with our scriptures, not only making sure that what we're hearing is the Bible and having a due and proper reverence for it, but we need to listen in such a way as to desire to practice it. And let the word of God sink into your heart and say, what does this mean to me? Are there changes that I need to make to my life as a result of what I've read here? As a result of what I'm hearing, is this something that speaks to an area of my life? We should be letting the word of God dwell in us richly in all wisdom, as it says in the book of Colossians. It's important that we listen to God's word in such a way as to get benefit from it. And that is why we should come to the Lord's house with a prayerful attitude. We should come with a prayerful spirit and with the attitude, I'm coming here today to hear a word from the Lord. I want the Lord to speak to me. I want God to deal with my heart. We sing that little children's chorus. We've been singing it recently. Let the Lord have his way in your life every day. Let the Lord have his way. That should be our attitude when we come to God's precious word. In the book of Acts chapter 20 and in verse 9, we read what for some might be an amusing incident. When the apostle Paul was preaching on the Sabbath there at Troas, there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. Now, I don't know whether that young man didn't get enough sleep the night before. That's important for us when we come to God's house, that we prepare for that. But he fell into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, maybe that had something to do with it as well, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. What do we learn from that? It's not a good thing to fall asleep in church. That's what we learn from that. That's one of the lessons we learn from it. Now, what was wrong there? We're into the realm of guesswork. Maybe the young man wasn't feeling very well. There's all sorts of reasons why he could have fallen into a deep sleep and fell down from there. But all that happened, happened there for the glory of God, because Paul subsequently went down and fell on him and embraced him and was able to tell the people, don't worry about it, his life is in him, he's not dead, so everything's fine. And in fact, he continued on till the morning. He must have gotten a second wind there, because he talked a long while, even till break of day, with these people. But But it says they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. It's kind of an amusing incident in some respects, but there's a serious point there, and it is that we should listen attentively to God's word. We should pay attention to what is preached. And let the word of God sink down into our hearts. The Bible tells us of a time when Christ was preaching, when the sense of the phrase that's used is that the people were hanging on every word. They listened carefully to what the Lord Jesus had to say. I know there were those who were there listening to Christ, who were listening to try to catch him out. They were listening to him to try to find something that he might say that would be contrary to the law of Moses, and then they could say, ah, he's a false teacher. Ah, we knew that he was a blasphemer, or whatever. And they were always, these enemies of Christ, doing that. They listened to Christ. They heard a lot of good preaching, obviously, but they listened with the wrong attitude. They were there to find fault. But there were others who were there hanging on every word that they might obey it, that they might put it into practice. And so, let us be like that. Let us have an attitude of worship when we come to hear God's word. I think that we can get the most out of hearing the word when we pray that the Lord would write it upon our hearts, even as the preaching is going on. You may be surprised to know that oftentimes when I'm preaching, I'm praying at the same time. Really? I haven't seen you doing that. Yeah, well, you don't see me doing it, but I am doing it. I'm shooting up prayers to the Lord all the time, that he would help me, that he would apply the word to hearts, that he would give me understanding of his word, that he would enable me to preach it. And as the preaching is going on, perhaps it would be good if you did the same thing and say, Lord, speak to my heart, or maybe think of someone else who's in the service. Not that it's always a good thing to, you know, to pass the word on to others, but maybe there's at times someone who you know is definitely not right with the Lord. They're not a Christian. Someone who maybe you've invited to church or you know is there who doesn't make a profession of faith. And you could be praying, Lord, you're hearing this part of the word that seems to be very appropriate to those that are not saved. Lord, write that word upon their heart. Help them to get this. Write this upon their souls. I've done that. I've done that many times when someone has accompanied me to a service and I know that that person, a relative or a friend or whatever, is not a Christian. And I'm praying, Lord, write this word on their heart. Save their souls through the preaching of the word. And here's something that we should think about. If you don't understand what's preached, it's not a bad thing to ask questions afterwards. Now, you say, well, if I ask you all the questions that I wanted to ask you, you'd be here for a long time. Perhaps so, but I think it's a good thing. If there's something that you don't understand, maybe you don't have to ask right away after the service, but maybe later that week or on some other occasion, write it down and say, look, I don't understand this. Pastor, could you explain this to me? Because at the time when you said it, I didn't really get it. What did you mean by that? That's a good thing, because that's going to help you then to get out of the message what you need to get from it, or at least some of what you need from it. How can we get the most out of the hearing of God's word? Well, I think that when we're talking about prayer, and I've mentioned this already, we should be praying for those who preach the word. Pray for the ministers of the church. When you read the New Testament, whether it be Corinthians, whether it be Galatians, Ephesians, Thessalonians, all these epistles of the Apostle Paul, isn't it interesting the number of times that he says, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. The preachers of the word. Pray for me. For example, if you go to Ephesians, I'll just show you this from chapter 6. He says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me. Don't forget about me. Oh, but you're the great apostle Paul. You don't need prayer. You're a mighty man of God. You're a spiritual giant. We're away down here. You're away up there. You don't need prayer. No, Paul would say, if you answered him that way, how wrong can you be? No, you're absolutely wrong. Pray for me. And what were they to pray for him? That utterance may be given unto me, that the Lord would help him to preach, that I may open my mouth boldly. Lord, help our pastor not to hold back what needs to be preached. Help him to be bold. Help him not to be afraid of the people who are in front of him. I need that. I don't like to be disliked. I don't like to be unpopular. I don't like for people to think, oh, I don't like what he's preaching. But faithfulness demands that you say things that will sometimes cause people to be rocked back on their heels and think, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if I can really agree with that or handle that or accept that. But you trust in those circumstances that the Lord would deal with those hearts and change those hearts and show them that what is being preached is the Word of God. The worst thing a preacher can do is to think, well, I know people aren't going to like this, so I won't preach it. Just going to hold that back. It might make me unpopular or whatever. The Apostle Paul didn't do that. He prayed and he asked others to pray for him that he might open his mouth boldly. That's the word that he uses there in verse 19. To make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is somebody who can't really care about his own interests, but the interests of the state that he represents, or the head of state that he represents. An ambassador of the United States, when he goes to another country, he's there to represent the United States. He's there to represent the interests of the United States. And whether people in those countries like what the United States is doing or not, he's there to represent that. He's the ambassador. He doesn't really have a mind of his own in that sense. You know, I agree with this or I don't agree with that. He's there to tell the others in those other countries what the position of the United States is on any given issue. That's what an ambassador is for Christ. He doesn't invent the message himself. He tells people what Christ's message is. He tells folks what the Word of God says. He's a representative of the Lord in that sense. I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now that's what Paul prayed for, that the Lord would help him to do that. And he asked the people in Ephesus, would you pray for me that the Lord would help me to preach in that fashion? And if you look at the book of Acts, without giving a whole lot of illustrations, but in Acts chapter 20, you'll find that when Paul was speaking to the elders of Ephesus, isn't that interesting? The church at Ephesus, he asked them to pray that he would speak boldly. Well, when he's meeting with the elders from that church in Acts chapter 20, here's what he says. Among other things, from verse 18, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verses 26 and 27, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Everything that should have been preached as the Lord enabled me, that's what I have preached. That's what he asked the Ephesians to pray for. Pray that I will be bold in making known the mystery of the gospel. And now he's testifying to the elders of that church, that's what God has enabled me to do. We should pray for those who preach the word, that they may preach with the Holy Spirit's power and authority, and that the Lord would make the word to be successful. J.C. Ryle, a great preacher in England, said this, I warn then everyone who loves his soul to be jealous as to the preaching he regularly hears and the place of worship he regularly attends. He who deliberately settles down under a ministry which is unsound is a very unwise man. If false doctrine is preached in a church, a man who loves his soul is not right in going to that church. It's important that we hear the word. It's important that we hear the right word. And may God enable us always to preach his word. May God enable us as a church always to be able to discern what the truth is and to obey that truth in our lives.